I think you have to love it and you have to really love why you're doing it. For us, it's all about the students and really all the stakeholders, the students, the parents, the teacher and the school. It's about providing something really special so that students get the proper learning outcomes but have fun along the way.
Yeah, you better believe they're having a lot of fun. They're getting to go all over the world, to NASA, to CERN, any place that you think would be awesome to visit from a science point of view. Latitude Group Travel very much do so. Today we'll get to speak with Jenny Murphy, the CEO and founder of a really cool organisation.
You're listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. For hundreds of ideas, free experiments and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. And now, here's your host, Ben Newsome.
Yes, welcome again to another Physics Ed podcast. This week, it's really a bit of fun because we get to talk about traveling with students, generally getting them on a bus, or even better, on a plane, to somewhere highly unique and highly educational. This is what Latitude Group Travel does, and it's been doing for a very long time. Today, we get to speak with Jenny Murphy, who's the CEO, and I tell you what, she has traveled the globe with students doing some really, really cool stuff. And in this chat, we get to speak about not only what they've been doing worldwide, and seriously, they go to some very, very awesome places, but also how they're linking up with some of the programs that have to be done in New South Wales and around the place due to the Year 11 and 12 depth studies, which I know some of our high school teachers listening know very much it's a big deal in New South Wales. So without further ado, let's listen into what Jenny's been doing and the team at Latitude Group Travel. It's really lots of fun. Jenny, welcome to the Physics Ed podcast.
It's lovely to be here. Thanks, Ben.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm really excited to have you on because, hey, what you're doing is very unique and quite different to many of the other guests who've been on this podcast. Now, obviously, I know you, Jenny, but there'll be people here who haven't met you yet. So, Jenny, what do you get up to?
Okay, we actually provide tours for students, and that probably doesn't sound like it's new either, but the way that we approach study tours is quite different. We're very focused on linking it to the curriculum for each subject and for each curriculum that's taught. So it might be a particular state curriculum, it might be international baccalaureate, might be an international curriculum, but we get hold of those and actually use them to help us design the tours. And we design the tours with a lot of experiential learning activities. So that's a lot of hands-on activities where the kids are engaged, they're interested, and we find that if it's just sightseeing, they get a little bit bored. So this way they're learning, and there's actual, I guess, learning, real learning outcomes as a result of the tours that we do, which I think is very important.
Oh, and I was absolutely excited to just look up what Latitude Group Travel does, because, I mean, you go to Costa Rica, Mexico, India, Nepal, South Africa, USA. I mean, you've got one of those jobs that everyone would dream of.
Well, we do, except unfortunately we don't always go, which is a shame. But we do. We love organising tours. We can do it anywhere really in the world. It's all about research and it's all about knowing your product. So we can design really any tour for any subject or even a combination of subjects and take people or student groups anywhere in the world. Pretty well nowhere we don't go, except somewhere that's not safe.
That would be a good idea.
Would be a good idea. So we always listen to what the government says with their smart traveller notifications.
No worries. I mean, so you really are. You're almost like a classroom on legs. I mean, it's very, very cool that some of the places that you get to visit are outstanding. I certainly will get into that, but I'm just out of curiosity, Jenny, how did you fall into this line of work?
It's an interesting story, actually. My husband and business partner was a tour director for a student tour company in the United States, and we were living there for a number of years. When we came back to Australia, we looked at what was being offered, and we felt that there was a niche there that allowed us to offer something a bit different. And because I'd run businesses before and he knew a lot about student travel, we got together and started Latitude Group Travel with this focus on experiential learning and curriculum linkage. That's how we did it.
And wind it forward, now you're doing all these awesome tours, and very much, I mean, I love the fact that you're saying it's not just about tours. I mean, of course, it's not just jumping on a bus and, hey, we're at this destination now. I mean, my understanding, you have tour leaders that really guide the kids to a level that I'd imagine just doesn't seem to be around for other places.
That's so true. We have a tour director that accompanies every tour, and that's for a number of reasons. One is for safety, that they add a large degree of safety to the groups by knowing the countries, knowing which way the traffic goes, knowing where the hospitals are and medical facilities, that sort of thing. But they also provide knowledgeable commentary. So let's say we're going to the US for an American Revolution tour, and they'll know all about the American Revolution. But where they have some gaps, we'll actually employ specialist guides. So, for example, on the Western Front in France and Belgium, we have guides that know all about World War One from the Australian point of view. So not only do we have our tour directors, but we also have specialist guides. And there's never a point at which we're not providing expert facilitators, even if it's for an experiential learning activity. And maybe I can use an example now. On the Western Front, we have a fantastic experience where the students actually dress up as soldiers from a particular march in 1917. And they walk the trail that troop walked. They become the character, one of the people that was in that troop. They eat the food, they carry the guns, they experience the whole thing all day. And at the end of the day, they find out the fate of the person that they are portraying in that experience. And it really brings home just what sort of experience the young boys had at that time in the Somme all those years ago. And there's no other way to give them that experience other than this sort of experiential learning activity.
Absolutely. I mean, like I was personally excited. I can imagine just wanting to jump on one of these tours myself. I mean, you take students to the Kennedy Space Center, you've taken them to CERN in Switzerland. I mean, these are high-end places. I mean, how do you go about organising, such a site, let students in, and then more importantly, not just watch what happens, but actually get involved?
First of all, we're not afraid to call anybody out of the blue. So once we've done a lot of research and we've identified where we want to take the students, we'll really just call them, whether they have an education program or not, and ask them to develop an education program for us. We're pretty knowledgeable about what we want, so we can usually give them a very good brief. And there are very few companies that aren't interested in actually having students from Australia come and see what they do. So even places like CERN are interested. And knowing when you have to book and how you have to book, those sorts of things, and, booking them early enough so that that those places will let you in. So it's a lot of it for us is research and identifying who it is we want to see and then just calling.
That is so cool.
Sorry, I interrupted.
No.
I should say that is not something that's very common, and that's why we get into such unusual places.
Well, that's what I was going at with my head, just thinking it's not just a series of, hey, this is our package and we're going to this site yet again for the 10th time in a row. It sounds like you have the opportunity that as a teacher that you could actually ask, say, hey, we really want to go check out this site or want at least something around this particular learning outcome, and you put it together. That's just an awesome thing to do.
I should have said that's probably because we actually custom design every single itinerary. We have nothing on the shelf. I mean, of course, we use some of the experiences that we've used before, but we actually custom design every single itinerary, and that means the teacher gets exactly what they want, and we can focus on their learning outcomes that they're wanting for their students. Whereas I understand, I think in general, there are mostly just sightseeing tours that are the same. So we just like to be different.
What are some of the more interesting requests you've had or one of the more unusual briefs that you would have had to have fulfilled over the years?
Oh, gosh, I knew you were going to ask me that, Ben. And you just mentioned one of them, actually, which was the one of the STEM tours that we did through Europe. And it was interesting in the beginning because we weren't aware of, I mean, we were aware of CERN, of course, but we weren't aware necessarily of all that was available across Europe. And since then, we've found really I won't say hundreds, but tens of places that we can go to in each of the countries in Europe that are really cutting edge. It's not that we don't have the same sort of cutting edge places in Australia, but if people are wanting to travel to Europe, it's quite extraordinary what's there. I mean, there's, for example, a glass laboratory where students can go in and do a day of chemistry experiments. I just mentioned that it's a glass laboratory just because that's unusual. But, you know, all sorts of places. There's a Living Tomorrow, which is like a museum, really with cutting edge. What do we call those? What I'm looking for the word. All of the sort of items we might be using in the future. You know, a lot of robotics and smart houses, that sort of thing. So really exciting. But, you know, I would say just as equally, some of the history tours we've done have been absolutely fascinating. We've recently done one for a school that's wanting to combine ancient Great Greece and Italy with medieval England. And we didn't have a lot of time for any of the places. So we really researched medieval England, which you would think is everywhere, and it is. But to find those sort of activities that they can do, they're actually going to a guild hall to have a talk by members of the guild. They're going to a heraldry, or the only heraldry company that does all the coats of arms, and they're going to have a talk with those sort of people. I mean, they're very unusual activities.
Absolutely. So, I mean, mind you, don't knock the glass laboratory. I mean, I know that there's a fantastic thing that goes around called Prince Rupert's Drops, which is, for those people who are unaware of it, if you drop molten glass into water, it forms like this teardrop. And a lot of physics has been done recently around this, because these teardrops, you could literally shoot them with a bullet and they will not shatter, yet they're made out of glass. But if you twist the tail, it will shatter. It literally go everywhere. So, oh, by the way, yeah, wear safety glasses if you've got Princess Rupert's Drops doing this. But now the physics of glass and chemistry of glass is just as important, even though we've been using it for a very, very long time. But yeah, I mean, this is the thing. Like, obviously, you're mixing key learning areas, which makes it very vibrant and unique for each tour. I mean, one of the things that grabbed my attention just looking through your site was, hey, you take the kids rock climbing. I mean, we can take kids rock climbing. There's plenty of places that would do that. But then you go into the biomechanics of it. That's cool.
That's actually exactly true. And that's, so we don't just do something for the sake of it. I think that's the most important point. A good example, I think, would be, say, our performing arts tours, where instead of taking perhaps one of the genres of performing arts, so just drama or just dance, we'll take all of them, so dance, drama, vocal, instrumental, and even often visual arts or media, and we'll have all of those groups split up doing workshops concurrently and all coming back together to do something perhaps in the afternoon and then going off again and doing six different workshops that afternoon, and that's highly unusual. And it means that we can tailor workshops for exactly what the group needs. So yeah, the dancers don't have to go to a drama workshop just because there's not enough people or because it's actually a dance, you know, a dance tour or what have you. Every time we look at an activity, we look at how can we make it hands-on, or looking at a place, how can we, you know, find a hands-on activity to do.
Now, obviously, giving you a chance for kids to actually experience firsthand, you know, the firsthand investigation of a particular experiment or site is critically important. Otherwise, why would they get involved? But then I guess imagining behind it is obviously all the background preparation to be able to get the students eventually onto a plane and overseas. I mean, I imagine, what are some of the common questions that come up? I imagine they'd circle around safety and all that type of thing. I mean, if you had someone listening in who was interested in this type of thing, I mean, what sort of things do you normally find that you can answer without even having to think too hard about the safety, whatnot, how you look after them?
Oh, the safety, certainly. I mean, that has got to be our number one priority, having all these students and teachers, you know, virtually in our hands, and it's really important to us. So we have really well-written and well-thought-out safety documentation. We have our tour director who has that documentation and knows exactly what to do if something happens. In fact, our insurance people are very proud of us for that. I believe they're the best that they've seen. And we're always looking at ways you know, or situations where things might occur. For example, something simple is just students getting off a coach, because if they're getting off a coach in a country where the cars go the other way, they may well not look in the right direction. So we have a process where the teachers get off first and the tour director, and they make sure that the students are all together and are told to look left instead of right. And it might sound a little bit minor, but it's so easy for someone to be run over just not looking the right way. And there are obviously things that are more serious. You know, these days I know people worry about terrorism. I would say that the countries that have been involved in terrorism are far more safe perhaps than we realise, because they now have enormous protection and security around the place. But we also have a procedure where we know exactly what to do if something happens, and that we're in touch with the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade to follow their instructions to the T. And I think, you know, one of the things that I would ask if I were a teacher is, what sort of safety precautions does an organisation have, and do they know how to handle a situation?
Absolutely. I mean, it sounds like it's common sense, but actually having procedures in place is far more valuable, and having people know what to actually do as opposed to it being a document that collects dust somewhere is far very, very much important.
Oh, it's really, really important. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Obviously,
yeah, it's vital. And look,
go ahead.
Sorry. I was just about to say, one of the reasons we have tour directors, as I mentioned before, is because of the safety situation, as well as providing the knowledge. And I think that's not common, again, amongst organisations that provide study tours for students. And I think it's something really to think about, but it's well worth having one. I think once you have, teachers will never go back without one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is the thing. So you've got a lot of exciting opportunities, and obviously well carefully thought out, and you've been doing this for quite a few years, but at the same point, the syllabus keeps changing, the curriculum keeps changing, which makes our life a bit hard. And knowing this, knowing full well, I mean, some of the things that are coming in through, even across our desks, with the new HSC, so those people who are overseas, a high school certificate, it's our year 12 thing, and it's done over a two-year period effectively, and they've got all these outcomes have been around for many years in physics and chemistry and biology and whatnot, and then they change it. And then everyone has to really quickly configure in their head. I mean, have you got things coming up to suit that need, which is coming up in 2018?
We actually do. We're working right now on depth studies for years 11 and 12, obviously for year 11 initially, for New South Wales science subjects, for all of the subjects. And for most of the modules, we're really selecting the modules that probably have the most exciting excursions. And we're looking at 3 days to cover their 15-hour requirement for each subject. And we're looking at, rather than doing this in a lab necessarily or in a classroom, we're really looking at these depth studies being experiences on site somewhere. So outside, in the field, so that they're real world experiences rather than something that perhaps the class could already do. And I'm hoping that teachers will be really excited by this. And in fact, you're helping us with one of the subjects too, aren't you, Ben?
Well, certainly we're creating something out of nothing in some ways, but we're certainly we are putting it together. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, that's why I was asking the question about, you know, what's coming up. I mean, obviously the educators listening to this would know full well that, you know, the curriculum changes all the time. But I mean, for a company such as yourselves, I mean, you might have an experience as a go-to place, and all of a sudden the curriculum changes. That means you nearly have to change everything of that experience.
Yes, nearly. And we do. I mean, that's one of the reasons that we take the curriculum so seriously. We need to keep up to date with it all the time so that we are aware of these sorts of things, and so we can provide solutions for teachers where solutions really don't exist at the moment. Mm. So these depth studies, I think, will be a really exciting opportunity for teachers to take their students away and, as I say, to do something in the real world, whether it's chemistry, physics, biology, earth and environmental science, and I could go on. But, yeah, I think I'm hoping that the teachers will contact us when we release this, or by hearing this, so that they can see some of what we've developed. And as you know, it's very exciting for each subject.
Absolutely. I mean, actually, just out of pure curiosity, I mean, obviously you're taking Australian students abroad. Have you had inquiries from people in other countries to take their students around the place?
Yes, we have actually. We, in particular, from India and China and Hong Kong, we've had quite a lot of students, and actually Argentina has been the latest one, where we've actually had a lot of schools contacting us, particularly, I think, because we handle the IB curriculum, which is quite common overseas, and we specialise in being able to handle that. But as well as that, I think because of the difference in the sort of activities or itineraries that we produce. So one of the Hong Kong school, for example, asked us to develop a 5-day real-world design challenge, and we thought that it was so good at the end of it that we're going to release it to Australian schools as well. So they'll have an opportunity, if they wish, to have a 5-day program working on design thinking and where students are solving a real-world problem that they've identified in their own communities, which I think will be fantastic.
Sounds fantastic. It sounds like your passport's just filled with lots of stamps.
Yes. But more importantly, I hope the school's passports are filled with many stamps.
Well, they would be.
Yes, I'm hoping so. And also, look, I think what we're trying to do is become education providers in a number of different ways. So we believe that our tours are educational tours in the true sense of the word. And so we want to provide some sort of other educational experiences, like the depth studies that the students will need. But, you know, sometimes, or mostly that will be in Australia, but, you know, we have some ideas about perhaps going to New Zealand. Also the Real World Design Challenge, we have another program called Mission Discovery, which brings the NASA astronaut and NASA personnel to Australia to run a 5-day program here rather than having to go to the expense of going to the States. So that's another opportunity. So we're also developing these programs in Australia just to try and allow schools that perhaps couldn't go overseas to have access to these sort of programs.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the equity is very important. I mean, unfortunately, sadly, not everyone can afford these trips. But then again, if you can do it in-house, effectively in the domestic way, I mean, that's great. You then open up opportunities for kids. And especially considering that, I mean, knowing full well that those depth studies that you mentioned, they are prescribed. There are things that, you know, we've got to do. I mean, to be able to offer an opportunity for students to genuinely create something of real investigative value is awesome. It's fantastic. And yeah, just out of interest, like if you had to give some advice to some teachers considering doing something like this to send their kids abroad and obviously, you know, accompanying them to go find out what they're finding out too, what are the sort of things that they would need to, you know, at least prepare? What is some advice that you do to prepare your students to be able to go overseas and have one of these adventures?
I think one of the things, firstly, is for the teacher to be really clear about what they want to achieve out of the tour, so that they can brief the company really well. But I do think that the company that they're using should be helping to prepare the students for going overseas. That's a big part of our job, is to help them understand what's required, how to go about getting their visas, their vaccinations, how to pack, what to pack. So I think while the teachers are obviously responsible for the students on a day-to-day basis, they really need a partner in crime, and they should be looking for organisations that are going to provide that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so obviously you've got all that documentation and all that ready to go for them, and obviously available to connect with them if you had to.
Well, we do. And in fact, we do a couple of presentations. We do one, first of all, when the school accepts the proposal. And so we then introduce the tour to the parents and the students that are interested. But we also come back about 4 to 6 weeks prior to them leaving to cover off all of the things I just mentioned, so that students are really aware of all the things they need to do, and we provide travel notes along with that to support what we're saying. So I think that it's important that, again, that the company is prepared to come out to the school and meet with the students and with the parents because they worry about who's taking their child away and whether they have a safety protocol or not. How often they've done these sort of trips, what sort of trips they are. Mm. So I think it is important to make sure that your provider really gets involved with you as a school and understands you as a school. That would be one of the first pieces of advice I would certainly give.
I bet. Now, I know like 2017, as we record this, is starting to wind down, but you've got a lot of stuff lined up for 2018. What's your first trip in 2018? Where are you going first, just out of interest?
Oh gosh, that's a good question. I have a feeling that our first trip in 2018 in April, I think, is a performing arts tour to New York and LA. And we have about 8 or 9 going out in April, all different tours. We have STEM tour, we have history tours. We have geography tour going out at that time to New Zealand, which is a fascinating tour, actually. That's a full geography tour with a geography expert every step of the way, so that'll be fun. So we're all over the place, all over the world.
Wow. You are going to have a lot of fun. I can hear that for sure.
Well, if I were going, it would be a lot of fun.
Oh,
but
sure.
I just get to stay at home and think about what sort of things we're doing. I'm involved, obviously, in a lot of the strategic work, looking at when the curriculum changes again and looking at the different sorts of programs that we can offer more generally. And I have some wonderful staff that do a lot of the research for the specific itineraries that we do. And look, if I could only think of some of the unusual places that we go and the things that we do. Well, for example, I think we're taking one school to Iceland next year. We're taking another to Peru and the Galapagos, I can't say it. Mm-hmm. So really all over the place.
Yeah, and I'd still argue that you're still having fun because creating these journeys are part of it. I mean, that's one of the part of the fun about working in physics is the sheer number of programs we run, and often it's because people have asked us to put them together, and that's where the fun comes in. So, it very much so.
You can't not love it, can you?
Oh yeah, it's great. Lots of fun.
Yeah,
absolutely,
it's great. And I think you have to love it, and you have to really love why you're doing it. For us, it's all about the students and really all the stakeholders: the students, the parents, the teacher, and the school. It's about providing something really special, so that students get the proper learning outcomes but have fun along the way. It's about the teachers so that we support what they're teaching in the classroom. It's about the parents not having to pay too much for these sorts of experiences. And it's about the school having something really different that they can use as a marketing tool, because what we do is just so unique. I mean, there isn't anybody in Australia, I don't even think internationally, that's doing what we do. So, it is important to really love what you do and do it for the right reasons.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Hey, Jenny, thank you so much for jumping on the podcast. I mean, I know that you've got a lot to plan, especially as you have to implement, this new curriculum of yours. You just got to respond to it. New South Wales. But then again, you also have programs happening throughout Australia. And look, awesome. And personally, obviously looking forward to putting together some bits and pieces as things come up. But and those people listening in, please just drop Jenny a line at Let You Travel. And how did they get in touch with you in the first place?
If they'd like to either call us on 03-964-6420. And if you're overseas, add plus in front of the 613-964-6420, or you can certainly email me on Jenny, JENNY, at latitudegrouptravel.com.au.
Awesome.
And certainly look up our website, you can certainly contact us straight from the website.
Absolutely, and we'll put that all in the show notes as well. And Latitude Group Travel is all one word, by the way. So just type it all in, .com.au, and people can find out what's going on. Look, much appreciated, Jenny, and look, no doubt we'll catch up again. But until then, have a fantastic end of year and we'll catch you another time soon.
And you too, Ben. Thanks very much for your time.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're all about science, ed tech and more. To see 100 fun free experiments you can do with your class, Go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S. And click 100 free experiments.
And there you go. We were speaking with Jenny Murphy from Latitude Group Travel, and you can really tell they really are passionate about what they do. They're very much about inspiring kids to learn about their world. And actually, if you jump on their website, you'll see, yes, they do a lot of STEM, but they also do a lot of stuff too in art and history, all sorts of things to get kids into learning. And I really love how they're creating custom itineraries for teachers, which means it's not just stuff off the shelf, it's stuff that you get to create. And that's just so important.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast.
If you're going to go get kids on a plane or a bus and take them somewhere, you kind of want to make sure that the place that you're going is the sort of place that kids want to check out in the first place. I tell you what, they will learn a lot more when they want to be there. And last week, we got to hear from Stephen Rumbold, who's actually involved with the Australian Age of Dinosaurs Museum. That's in the heart of Queensland, and I reckon the kids would want to go there.
As soon as we get down to the rock layer where the bones are going to be, basically we start showing people, yeah, what is the difference between the rock and the actual fossil bone. And really, as soon as we can start to see where the rock ends and where the fossil begins, if it's your first day in the dig, we'll get you straight into digging out that dinosaur bone.
Imagine taking kids on a dinosaur dig. Seriously, they get to do it in Winton at the Australian Age of Dinosaur Museum. It's very cool, and I reckon it's the sort of place that Latitude Group Travel would certainly be able to help you out with doing. How fun. It's definitely worth checking out last week's episode because it was such an interesting chat with an interesting sight. And Australian Age of Dinosaur Museum is one of my favourite spots to visit. And guess what? I get to go there next week, which is going to be so much fun. Hey, speaking of fun, next week we get to speak with two of the finalists from the 3-minute thesis pitch event, which happened last year at the University of New South Wales. What's that all about? Well, it's actually the researchers, the postgraduate students at the University of New South Wales School of Biological and Earth Environmental Sciences. Every year they do this great event where they've only got 3 minutes to tell a general audience what they've been studying. It was a lot of fun, and I got to be a judge in it late last year, so well worth checking that out. But until then, I hope you make your science classrooms, your museums, your zoos, wherever you happen to work, as engaging, as informative as possible. You've been listening to me, Ben Newsom from Physics Education, and you've been listening to the PhysEd Podcast. I'll catch you next week.
You've been listening to another Physics Ed Podcast. We're excited about science. Subscribe to us on iTunes to download the next episode as soon as it's released. And don't forget, for hundreds of ideas, free experiments, our new Be Amazing book, and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S.